Toronto, Saturday, May 11, 1996, 2:34 a.m. Staff Inspector Gerade McTavish, head of the Violent Crimes Division of the Metropolitan Toronto Police Department, answered the phone on the first ring. He sat up and listened. "I'll be there within an hour." His wife, Elaine, never heard the phone ring. He was a light sleeper, and she was equally a heavy sleeper. He got out of bed and headed to his bathroom for a quick shower and shave. They each had a private bathroom off their large bedroom. It wasn't his inspector's salary that paid for this 100-year-old showpiece in one of Toronto's most exclusive, old-moneyed communities, but rather the enormous trust fund set up for him by his grandfather when he was born. McTavish flicked on the bathroom light, closed the door, and went directly to the shower stall. The water's hot pulsations felt like a marching band of drummers on his back. When he finished, he dried himself with a plush Egyptian cotton towel and wrapped it around his waist. He moved to the double sink, paused, and looked at himself in the full wall mirror. Not too bad for a 42-year-old cop, he thought. Actually, he was being modest. There was not an ounce of excess fat on his lean 6-foot-2-inch frame, and he kept it that way with a vigorous daily workout routine in his basement gymnasium. His sandy brown hair showed just a trace of gray at the temples. Thin crow's feet were beginning to appear in the corners of his dark chocolate brown eyes. His most distinctive feature was a strong cleft chin, common to generations of McTavish men who were portrayed in the McTavish Gallery, found in the library of his father's Rosedale estate. After he shaved, he went to the walk-in closet and chose a white cotton shirt, dark slacks, and a light wool jacket. He completed his attire with a pair of tasseled loafers and a McTavish tartan tie. He tried to get out of the house without waking his youngest daughter, Helen, but she heard him walk by her bedroom door. As with him, the slightest sound wakened her.
"Daddy, is that you?"
"Shh, you don't want to wake up the twins," he whispered.
"I don't care if they do wake up. They were mean to me today. They were teasing me because I couldn't understand the funny way that they talk. Why do they talk that way?"
"Well, honey, twins who look exactly the same do that a lot. They have a special way of talking to each other. They won't even tell mommy and me what they are saying. But guess what? I think I'm getting close to figuring out what they are saying. And when I do, I'll teach you too. Then you and I will have a special secret because we won't let them know we understand what they're saying.
Do you promise?"
"I promise. Come on now. It's time to get back to sleep, and Daddy has got to go to work." He leaned over and kissed her forehead.
"I love you, Daddy."
"I love you too, Munchkin."
"With sugar and spice?"
"With sugar and spice and everything nice." She yawned, turned over on her tummy, and within seconds she was asleep again. He stood over her and prayed that she would never have to see the depravity that existed in his other world. He pulled his unmarked cruiser into the employee parking lot at Allen Gardens. There were three other cruisers there. Two had their light bars flashing. From their call numbers, he saw that one was from the 51st Division and the other from the 52nd. The third cruiser belonged to the Crime Scene Investigation Unit. There were no other cars. The press vultures had not yet discovered the carrion. He showed his gold shield to the uniformed constable standing beside one of the cruisers.
"I'm Staff Inspector McTavish.
Where's the body?"
"She's in the flower bed in front of the Palm House. It's not a very pretty scene."
"I've never seen a murder scene that is pretty. Lots of words come to mind, but pretty is not one of them."
"I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply."
"That's all right. I'm tired, hungry, and just generally pissed off.
But that's not your problem."
"Who discovered the body?"
"The night watchman. He came out the front entrance of the conservatory to start his evening rounds when he saw someone bending over an object in the flower bed. He yelled out, and whoever it was bolted and started running toward Jarvis Street. When he went to check the flower bed, he discovered the body. He called 911 and we were the first unit to respond. We were patrolling on Sherbourne and got here 5 minutes after receiving the call from dispatch."
"Where is he now?"
"My partner's taking his statement in the conservatory."
McTavish turned and walked toward the Palm House, an ornate glass and metal structure that lay in the center of Allen Gardens, a lush 4-acre park located in the heart of downtown Toronto. Its stunning flower beds were often used as a backdrop for wedding pictures. Unfortunately, tonight, the flower bed would serve as a backdrop for crime scene pictures. When McTavish reached the flower beds, two uniformed constables were securing the area with yellow crime scene tape. The other two, in civilian clothes, stood on the asphalt near the body. They were the crime scene investigators, the identification officers known as the ident officers.